up, episode R5D4. Every second chance begins with a first step. Welcome back to what is I consider our fifth episode, our Fab Five episode. What do you think about the tagline this week, Dave?
I like it. I actually like that movie.
Yeah, I think you're actually well on the record as he actually likes that movie. I still have not seen that movie, and I don't think this needs to be a reoccurring theme.
That one's pretty good. And every week, the sequel was solid too.
I haven't seen the sequel either. Although I imagine, just as a hint, we might be talking about another sequel for that particular film later on in the podcast.
The third one you can skip.
You've got a couple good solid hints as to what our tagline for this week is. And when you figure it out, and I'm sure you will, give us a shout over at moviesonup@gmail.com. And have we actually been getting together people that we're going to send prize packages to? Or are we just
kind of
empty threats at this
point? Ish, yeah.
All right.
There's a few.
Well, basically, I think what will happen here down the road is we'll get some information from people as long as you guys keep participating, and we'll send you something. I'm not going to guarantee what it is because I'm too lazy to actually put together a prize package, but I will. And when that happens, you guys will be the first to know. Something I would like to, I don't know, Dave, maybe you're not the first to know this, but I would like to put it out right at the beginning of the podcast. Happy 35th birthday to R2-D2.
It was kind of
a big deal. Star Wars turned 35. It was May 25th, 1977. That movie came out. It was 35 years ago. So that made an independent filmmaker a little bit of money. He's pretty well off now. Good for him.
I'm not even going to support that with backing it up at all.
All right. Well, that's fine. It's not like I'm the only person in the world that likes Star Wars. So yeah, I don't give a shit whether you like it or not. Something that I think a lot of people did end up liking, maybe not as much as we thought, but Men in Black this week, Dave.
Yeah, last week I set the over-under at 53 million, and I guessed that it would make about what the Avengers made last week, which the Avengers made 55 million. Men in Black this week, on the three-day weekend, it is a four-day weekend, but on the three-day weekend, Men in Black 3 brought in $55 million. For the number one spot, finally knocking the Avengers down to number two with just under $37 million. The Avengers is now at $513 million. So either by the end of the week or by Friday next week, they will surpass Dark Knight as number three.
For the highest grossing.
For highest grossing domestically. And then there's a big drop off. So you have $55 million is number one. 37 at number two.
And Battleship did not make 35?
Battleship was number three with 10.8 million.
Wow.
That's a 57% drop-off off of its disappointing opening weekend.
So are they at 40 million now?
It's
at
44
weeks?
Million after
oh,
2 weeks
goodness.
Off of its $209 million
I was
going to
say, that's pretty not close.
Yeah, The Dictator in at number four. And the other wide release, Chernobyl Diaries, $8 million
yeah,
for fifth place. Yeah, it had actually strong midnight showings on Thursday, so I actually thought on Friday, oh crap, I'm going to be, it might actually do well. No, then word of mouth got out that it's crap, and people stopped going to see it.
Word of mouth, plus I think, with a lot of those Oren Peli movies, they do well midnight showing. They have, a cult following, so to speak, already, so I think the diehard fans were going to be there. And those, it seems like the diehards were really the only ones that went to see it this weekend.
But the most interesting thing about the box office this weekend, not that Men in Black, it made a fifth of its budget. That movie's been a disaster. I've heard it's actually decent. I've heard it's, if you're a fan of the first one,
it looks
good.
Like the reviews are pretty decent, but I just don't care.
But they took a break in the middle of filming it so they could finish the script. Usually not a good sign, but they still opened to $55 million. But in at number 14... is the latest from Wes Anderson, Moonrise Kingdom. The only reason it opening at 14 is relevant, it was a very, very limited release, four theaters.
Wow.
And it brought in $509,000.
Wow.
That is a $127,250 average per theater.
I was gonna say, like, even I'm sure, like, the per screen average, and a lot of times that's kind of what you use to compare apples to apples when we're looking at limited release versus nationwide release. And I gotta believe those numbers would just be incredible.
If these to set it all up, these are the estimates. Like, the actual numbers will come in on Monday.
Yeah, and
they're usually very close. We're recording a day early due to the holiday, but if these estimates hold close, that'll make Moonrise Kingdom the highest ever per screen average.
Jeez.
So you'll win
a couple bar bets with that one,
I suspect. Yeah, it is its release schedule is pretty stupid. Like, it's such a, you would think Wes Anderson at this point can get wide releases.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he could, but I don't get opening in 4 theaters for a movie that has this much interest. And it just staggers out. Like, Cleveland doesn't even get it for another month, like another 3 weeks or so, but it might work out because 127,000 per screen is going to create some buzz.
Yeah,
so.
maybe that was the plan, was to try and get it into a wider release sooner, coming back with these numbers and, whoa, hey, look at, you know, what we're doing per screen, and you guys, you know, don't want the movie quite yet. Well, you're dumb.
Yeah. So, but that's it. And then 6 through 10 is kind of boring, so we don't even need to go over that. But Men in Black 3 at number 1 and then Moonrise Kingdom at 14 are really the only interesting things this week going on.
So I think we can pretty much say, with the Avengers making a bunch of money, with Men in Black 3, that we are probably officially, summer movie season has begun. We were kind of arguing about that before, at the beginning of May, whether or not it was officially summer. But I think Dave and I have both kind of put our heads together and decided that, you know, now is going to be the start of the summer movie season. So we are going to, as a courtesy to our listeners, give you our summer movie preview. Basically, what we're going to do is take you week by week. I'm going to blow through all the wide release movies and the limited release as well, and maybe just give you a little bit on some that either we think are going to be awesome or are going to be really horrible. And we're going to try not to rehash the same stuff that we've talked about 4 or 5 times. So if I don't talk to you a whole lot about the Batman movie, please forgive me.
We've talked about Prometheus. We've talked about Batman. So.
Yeah, and even the Spider-Man. I'm sure you guys probably know how awesome that's going to be. You don't need Dave to tell you
how awful it's going to be.
All right. A movie that I sounds awful, but I'm sure you've been seeing the previews for it on TV ad nauseum right now, is Snow White and the Huntsman. That comes out June 1st, even, starring Kristen Stewart, Thor, and Charlize Theron, in limited release that week. High School with Adrian Brody and Michael Chiklis, and Piranha 3 Double D with Danielle Pennebaker and Ving Rhames.
I got a couple things about this. Snow White and the Huntsman, I don't know about that movie. Like, I don't understand. I don't know what it's supposed to be.
Who they're going after?
Yeah. Like, I don't get... It's a Snow White tale starring Kristen Stewart, so I thought tweens. But then it looks pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Like, it looks... Like, I think Thor kicks some ass.
I think what they're trying to do is say, well, we know we're probably going to get ladies to come in. Maybe not just necessarily tweens, but even the folks that are watching that Once Upon a Time, that's doing
or
pretty
grim,
well on ABC.
Yeah,
either of those. So, okay, we know with the subject matter we're going to get ladies. Let's just try and make it not brutal for the guys, too.
Because you know what? It doesn't look awful.
No, it really doesn't.
It really doesn't. Like, I'm not going to rush out and see it, but if I were out and with friends and they wanted to go see something, I'm not going to complain.
Oh, you wouldn't have to drag me kicking and screaming into the theater.
No.
And that's, I don't mean to sound condescending, but like, it is what it is. The movie actually doesn't look too bad.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm not going to rush out and see it, but I'd see it. The other thing on this week that makes me mad is Piranha 3 Double D. A couple of years ago, they had a surprise hit with Piranha 3D.
Why is it in limited release?
Not so much that. I understand why it's in limited release, because it's not going to be as good as Piranha. But you have Piranha come out. His name's blanking me. Alexander Aja.
Oh.
Made it really good. Like, it was a Piranha remake wasn't needed.
Mm-hmm.
If you did it, it had to be done a certain way. And that's what they did. It was campy. It was tongue-in-cheek. It was self-aware.
Yeah.
And audiences ate it up. It was exactly what audiences wanted at the time. And it did really, really well. So, of course, you red light, you green light a sequel. But then,
to do more of the same thing that you already did, not
you would
add
think,
anything. Yeah.
But then you don't bring Alexander Aja back. You bring in John Gulager and the screenwriting team behind the Feast movies. So, yeah, the Feast movies are what they are, but they weren't moneymakers.
Well, no.
I mean, they wanted cheap and they wanted fast instead of sticking with what worked. And this happens all the time. That's why I hate cash-in sequels, because this I'm expecting to be bad enough that nobody's going to want a third.
Yeah.
Or if you let Aha come back and do what he wants to do, it may cost a little bit more. It may take an extra year, but people will probably want a third one. So in the end, it'll pay off. But this rushing it and... I mean, I don't like the Feast movies. I don't like...
The first one was good. The other ones were not.
I just... I don't like that screenwriting team at all. I think they try too hard. And...
Man, maybe.
You get shades of that from just the trailer, that 3DD is not going to be any different than that. So I should be excited for that, but I don't care. Like, I really have no interest in that movie.
I mean, I could take it or leave it. Like, the first Piranha was all right. The second one is not... I guess it's not doing a whole lot for me. The other movie that I wanted to touch on was High School. I knew nothing about this movie, so I thought, well, let me take a little bit of a look-see here. Holy shit. That's about all I can say. It's about a teenager that is trying to get into MIT, and his school has this drug test policy, and he thinks the only way that he can not get kicked out of MIT is if everyone in the school flunks the drug test. So he tries to get everyone high. And in order to accomplish this, he tries to steal Adrian Brody's weed, who looks like... He looks a bit like Bradley Cooper does in that Hit and Run movie.
Trailer with dreadlocks.
Exactly. He's got dreadlocks, and he's doing his best like Batman voice, and it's just, oh my god, it's going to be a mess. Like, if you're a fan of the jazz cigarettes, maybe you ought to have one or two before you go
high
see this
school.
Movie. But yeah,
I just
high school.
Got it.
Exactly. Yeah, we're not going to explain that one too much. Just maybe stay away. June 8th in wide release, Madagascar 3, which I'm assuming will not have any illusions or any kind of marijuana in it at all, starring the voices of Chris Rock and Ben Stiller. Prometheus is coming out with Mikey Fassbender, Charlize Theron, amongst others. Limited release, Belle Ami with Edward and Christina Ricci. Lola Versus, Peace, Love, and Misunderstanding, and I think Dave's one of his most anticipated summer movies, Safety Not Guaranteed.
Not just most anticipated summer movies. Like
most anticipated
Most
period.
Anticipated movies, period. I want to see this movie. I've wanted to see this movie since I heard about it. It's just, are you familiar with it at all?
Just from what you've said, I have looked at it a little bit. I mean, I like me the Duplass brothers as much as maybe the next guy, not as much as you. I think Aubrey Plaza is really funny.
To set it up in case you don't, the whole premise of the movie is based off of a real Craigslist ad that said, looking for a time travel partner, it's ridiculous. It's like, must supply your own weapons, safety not guaranteed. So it's basically a guy looking for somebody that'll travel in time with him, and he alludes to, like, he knows how to do it. So Jake Johnson from New Girl works for a magazine and wants to meet the guy and do an article on him. The guy is played by Mark Duplass, gets kind of shut down, so his intern, Aubrey Plaza, grows close to him. And it's like her getting close to this guy that everybody else thinks is crazy, and it looks amazing. Like, I can't talk enough about how great it looks. Look up the trailer because it looks phenomenal.
I think it will be funny. It is, you know, the concept is one of those things that if had it not been real, you'd think, bah, this is kind of a reach. But, you know, going into it knowing that, oh, holy shit, there is actually somebody that's that was crazy enough to do this, and I think that kind of makes things a little bit more entertaining.
Plus the cast. Like, I stated last week, like, I like Mark Duplass, especially as an actor. Then Aubrey Plaza, to see her getting these roles, mm-hmm. She's going to blow up in the next year or two. Like, she's going to be one of those go-to women in movies. Because this isn't even... Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be funny, but it's not really driven as a comedy. Like, it's one of those more, like, independent... and then Jake Johnson, it's cool to see him in movies. He was in 21 Jump Street briefly, but he was really good in it.
You know, I had kind of alluded to something a little bit earlier about Edward's movie coming out a week after Bella's movie. And this was another one. Like, I, for whatever reason, I decided that I wanted to research, and boy, am I glad I did. 'Cause I got to watch Robert Pattinson make googly eyes with women that are twice his age. Uma Thurman, Christina Ricci. Oh my God. I don't know who they're, again, who they're going after. If they're, because this is not a movie for tweens.
I think Pattinson wants to, I don't think he wants that crowd though.
No, he doesn't, but I'm just trying to think like, yeah. Why would you cast him?
Yeah, because I mean, look at Water for Elephants wasn't for tweens.
No.
Cosmopolis that he was all right at Cannes, though. Yeah, like he's getting a lot of buzz out of Cannes for his performance in Cosmopolis. So, I mean, he's trying to branch out, which I think is, I don't know if he has it in him yet, but we'll find out soon because he's going to get the chance.
Yeah, I just question why it has, and maybe the fact that he's relatively young plays into the story somehow, but I was just thinking of any number of guys that you could pick that I think are going to draw more of the older crowd that's likely to go see this movie anyway. So I don't know, whatever. I'm not going to really analyze that movie too much because I don't think it's going to be all
that great. And Prometheus.
Oh,
we touch on Prometheus every week, but that movie's going to be awesome. I don't want to just gloss over it.
You should probably go ahead and see that. Leave Edward's movie for maybe a red box. But yeah, go see Prometheus. That'll be great. June 15th. I would say probably just go see Prometheus again, unless you're a huge fan of Tom Cruise, in which case, knock yourself out with Rock of Ages. Or, you know, if you're looking to laugh for a different reason, Adam Sandler's new flick comes out, That's My Boy, where finally we get a movie where Adam Sandler plays Andy Samberg's dad.
Even though there's like 12 years difference between them.
Yeah, but they just... I think like ever since I saw Andy Samberg on SNL, I thought there's going to be a movie where Adam Sandler's is dead.
I love Andy Samberg. Yeah, I have funny. No interest in this movie.
None. You know what? I have to admit that recent Adam Sandler movies have been kind of terrible. So I don't think
you can remove the kinda.
Well, they've been horrible. And I don't have a whole lot of expectations for this one, but I am kind of glad to see that it's R-rated. And it looks a little bit more like, he's getting back to kind of a Billy Madison type thing, and that's not the greatest movie ever, but I like it. I think it's funny, and I think that's when Adam Sandler was funny.
It just looks like he's playing his character from Wedding Singer 10 years later and in present day. That's exactly what it looks like.
Which I didn't mind Wedding Singer.
Oh, I loved Wedding Singer.
Yeah, so that would be okay with me. I'm just like, from some of the last movies that he's done, like I really, Jesus.
You didn't like Jack and Jill?
I didn't see Jack and Jill. Yeah. One more movie out that week in limited release is Your Sister's Sister with Emily Blunt and Rosemary DeWitt. What are you going to...
That is also with Mark Duplass.
Oh,
that's
okay,
the movie
that's
I mentioned
there.
Last week where his dead brother's girlfriend wants to hook up with him, but he ends up hooking up with her lesbian sister.
Yeah.
That's that movie. So he's hooking up with Emily Blunt and Rosemary DeWitt.
So there's another one of those movies that like, yeah, actually that does sound like it's a real thing. That, of course that could happen. June 22nd in wide release, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter with Benjamin Walker and Mary Elizabeth Winstead. The Pixar flick Brave. Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, Steve Carell and Keira Knightley. Limited release, To Rome with Love. From Woody Allen with Alec Baldwin and Penelope Cruz.
Now that's a summer weekend because there's something for everybody.
Something for, yeah.
There's something for, you know, people that want to see Abraham Lincoln kill vampires. There's the family movie. There's something for me because like, I'm super stoked on Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. Like I love Steve Carell as a leading man. The supporting cast in this, it's just a bunch of funny people doing some bit parts. I love the idea. It's a lot like that Canadian movie from... 80 something last night. It just looks like it's gonna be good. I'm really excited for it.
So that's what you're gonna see that weekend?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I not to be a complete kind of a fool, but I think I'm gonna go see Brave. I've been looking at the trailers for that for a while, and I mean Pixar does good stuff.
Yeah, I'm just never drawn to Pixar. It's nothing against them. I'm just not drawn to. I need to see that movie in the theater.
You know, like some of them, maybe not. I mean, they're. I think they're just as good, really, on DVD, watching it at home. But some of the things that they've done more recently, with their usage of the 3D, I know you don't like 3D, and that's fine. Maybe
hate
that's,
3D. Will not do 3D.
Fair enough. But Pixar stuff does look really, really good in 3D. So I think that's kind of one reason that I'm kind of more excited to see this one in the theater. I've seen the trailers. The trailers are in 3D. Pixar, you know it's going to be good. I mean, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter could be... The trailer looks sweet.
It just looks ridiculous.
We'll talk about it later.
It looks silly.
But, I mean, you know exactly what you're going to get with Pixar. It's probably going to be a good movie. So that's kind of where I'm sitting, and it'll probably be across the hall as Dave's checking out Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. June 29th, supposed
this
to be...
This day is crazy.
Supposed to be, and do we want to start with what's supposed to have come
out?
Yeah,
I want to talk about this. All right. I'll set it up.
Go ahead.
June 29th was supposed to be the day G.I. Joe Retaliation, the sequel with The Rock and Bruce Willis, was supposed to be the big summer blockbuster. That's June 29th. That's like a month away. Just earlier this week, the studio decided, no, we're gonna pull that.
But only they're gonna back it up like what, maybe 2-3 weeks.
No, they're moving it to March.
March.
Why? To post convert it to 3D so they can make more money internationally.
Because I mean, there's been a really proven track record with films that have been converted into 3D just raking it in.
There's already promotion for it. You're already seeing trailers for this movie.
Yeah,
so
they have been for a while
throwing that money away just to make it in 3D. They're doing reshoots. They're going to shoot some scenes in 3D. It's absolutely insane. Like, this blows my mind. This news, when I heard it this week, it's like, who does that? We're a month away.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Like, I had put this outline together a little bit before that news had actually, you know, come out. And then when it did, you had sent me a text and said that G.I. Joe is going to be in March. And I was like, what do you mean, like, next March?
Yeah.
Like, this coming March?
And the whole point is to post-convert it to 3D to make more money overseas. But that just, to me, looks like, oh, this movie sucks. They don't have... Because it's also easier to make more money.
There's no reason to see it in 2D. They have to add
And it's easier if you're so putting that much effort into foreign box office, you're expecting it to bomb here. And then in March, I mean, March is easier to make money because there's not as many options.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it's not so much a dumping ground anymore, but it's where a lot of these movies that aren't good enough for the summer.
But not this kind of a movie, though.
It's getting that way. March is almost where, if it's not good enough for a summer, March is kind of where you put those movies now. Because you can dominate the box office for about 3 weeks or so instead of having one good weekend in the summer and then falling down.
To replace G.I. Joe, we're going to get Ted instead. That is the Seth MacFarlane joint with Marky Mark and Mila Kunis.
Yeah, that was supposed to be a couple weeks later. But as soon as G.I. Joe moved, they're like, oh, we'll take that spot.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I think between those two movies, I probably would have gone to see Ted anyway.
Yeah. Actually think Ted looks kind of funny.
I do too. I'm not trying to make any excuses for it, but I think it'll be funny. I like Seth MacFarlane.
I'm not huge on Seth MacFarlane, but I think it'll be fun. I like Marky Mark. It just looks like a fun movie.
Fun movie again
with
funny
a ridiculous
people.
Premise, which I'm all for. If you can supply a ridiculous premise and make it work,
I think we've established this just in this episode already that you're kind of a fan of the ridiculous premise.
I do like a premise. I mean, I go to movies for a story.
Yeah,
that's what I. That's
the
what
more
I go
ludicrous,
for.
The better. And you would think maybe that a movie involving male strippers might be a ludicrous premise. You know, I guess the full Monty might beg to differ. But Magic Mike, starring Matthew McConaughey and C. Tates and just every other relatively attractive young man, Michael Fassbender notwithstanding.
But it's pretty much Channing Tatum's it's pretty much his life story.
Yeah, it really is.
And it's a Steven Soderbergh movie, which watching the trailer, it's like, why did Steven Soderbergh make this movie?
I think he's really good friends with C. Tates.
But it looks decent. I'm somewhat interested in it.
I don't know that I'm going to go so far as to say that I'm somewhat interested in it. It might not be terrible, and that's okay. I think it has its own audience, and that's, I think, probably what you could say for the next movie that'll be out that week. Tyler Perry's Madea's Witness Protection, built-in audience. I don't think we're it, but there will be people that will go see that movie.
A lot of people.
They won't necessarily be people like us. You see how I just did that?
Jesus.
That's Chris Pine and Olivia Wilde. In limited release that week, Beasts of the Southern Wild, Neil Young documentary Journeys, and Take This Waltz with Seth Rogen, Michelle Williams, and I guess you really can't mention that movie and not say Sarah Silverman's vagina.
Bush, yeah, full frontal Sarah Silverman. Take This Waltz looks great, and I'm sure that movie's going to be really fantastic. It's Laura Pauly's directorial debut.
Sarah Pauly.
Her directorial debut.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll be able to see it.
Why?
It just looks sad. Seth Rogen's wife falls in love with the artist across the street. Seth Rogen seems like a nice guy. So you're basically just watching Seth Rogen get cheated on, and like he's such a likable guy.
Ooh,
I don't
yeah,
think
but...
I could. I don't like. I don't think I could personally enjoy it. I think it'll just make me sad.
All right, and God forbid you have an emotional response
but
to
yeah,
a movie.
Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Yeah, that's not going to make you sad.
Oh, I can't wait for that movie. It's a different thing. I don't like seeing people cheated on.
All right, fair enough.
That's a personal thing with me. But
okay.
Beasts of the Southern Wild, my goodness, am I excited for this
movie. We can watch little girls
movie.
Sleep in bathtubs and just have a really rough go of
it. I cannot wait for this movie.
It's going to be good. We've talked a little bit about it before. So if you want some more in-depth on Beasts of the Southern Wild, check out our back catalog.
I think it was the first episode.
I think it was R2-D1. So check that out. It's the first one that's actually been posted. Yep, that's it for June. Into July. July 3rd. That is Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday this year.
And... boy, why would you put out a movie on Tuesday? Well, you would if it's The Amazing Spider-Man. It's obviously going to be awesome.
I disagree.
Well,
I think this movie's going to be such a letdown to people anticipating it.
It's going to be amazing, Dave. It's in the title.
I think it's trickery.
I don't think so. I think they could probably get sued for that. But if you look at that week... And we'll get into it a little bit more. July 5th, the Katy Perry documentary comes out.
Now, that's a Thursday. That one doesn't make any sense.
No, that really doesn't.
I don't understand the release of that on a Thursday.
No, and I don't understand why we need a Katy Perry biography. Although, I looked at the title, and it was late, and I just glanced at it, and it said, Part of Me, and I thought, wait, Parts of Me? Like, this could be awesome. If it's the right parts, I'm interested, but I think that I'm probably projecting something onto this movie that it's not actually going to be. Wide release that week. Really, the only thing to oppose Spider-Man is who can stop Spider-Man from world domination? One man, and that's John Carter. Savages starring Aaron Johnson, Taylor Kitsch, and Blake Lively.
And the thing is, this is an Oliver Stone movie. So it could go either way, because Oliver Stone the past few years has been one of those that can go either way. But I the premise seems okay. The story looks like it might be good. It's a crime movie, which I'm into those.
And the premise is these two fellas, Taylor Kitsch and Aaron Johnson, are both collectively dating. Oh yes, are both collectively dating Blake Lively, and she gets kidnapped by the Mexican drug cartel, and they have to go get her back.
Yeah. And like, it's a setup that could be, like, a good violent movie, but I'm not going to lie. Taylor Kitsch, he kind of turns me off. I've never seen the guy act. I did see Wolverine, but I've never seen him act well. The only thing I've seen him in is Wolverine. I guess people like him on Friday Night Lights. John Carter in Battleship, I'm not going to waste my time. I don't know. Like,
this one might be the first of his canon of films, obviously Wolverine notwithstanding, that... I might actually sit through. In addition to the aforementioned Aaron Johnson and Taylor Kitsch, it also has Benicio del Toro and John Travolta, who are smaller roles, but that's how I prefer my del Toro and my Travolta.
I mean, I need to see more from this movie. Like with Taylor Kitsch and, like I said, Oliver Stone so hit and miss anymore. I can't commit to it right now.
So you're going to be seeing Spider-Man that week?
No, I'll just take the week off.
Yeah, no you won't.
Or I'll go see Katy Perry and eat some popcorn with a hole in the bottom.
Wait, are you... No, somebody... never mind. July 13th, you might want to leave the holy popcorn at home for Ice Age Continental Drift. That is the only movie in wide release. Limited release, we have Alps, The Imposter, Red Lights with Cillian Murphy and Sigourney Weaver, and Trishana. What the fuck is that called?
Trishna.
Yeah, all right, whatever. That's about how I feel about that movie.
Frida Pinto's in it, though, from
Slumdog
Millionaire.
She's, relatively attractive, but
Ice Age, that's what, the fourth one? Yeah, it's the fourth Ice Age.
Oh, yeah, I thought we were still on Frida Pinto. And
no, I moved.
I don't know.
I moved past
the fourth
that.
Ice Age.
And
yeah,
between
maybe.
That and you got the third Madagascar, and outside of Brave, those are your two like big child release.
Yeah.
Neither of those franchises do a thing for me.
No, Ice Age and Madagascar, I think both.
And it's not just because they're kids' movies, because I enjoy a lot of kids' movies, but I just, those two.
But you're going to go see Ice Age, right?
No.
We'll talk about that later, but there might be a reason to go see Ice Age.
Not enough of a reason.
Fair enough. I do want to touch on Red Lights, because I like Cillian Murphy. I like Sigourney Weaver, so I thought, well, let me take a look and see what the hell this has got. It's a kind of a paranormal type thriller-ish movie, but it has the worst trailer I have ever seen in my life. It is a static shot of a man not facing the camera. You have no idea who it is. And they give you a couple lines that are so goddamn corny. It's unbelievable. And then right at the end, Bobby De Niro just turns around and looks at you. And that's about it. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't do anything. And I watched the trailer and I thought, Jesus Christ, I still don't know what the hell this movie's about.
It does have Elizabeth Olsen, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, it has the worst trailer, but the best Olsen sister. So
I love her. And I feel bad because I think she filmed some stuff right after Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene, before she kind of blew up from Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. Mm-hmm. So she has this coming out, and then the Elizabeth Shue is her mom movie that the name's escaping me.
Yeah.
Silent House.
Yeah.
Like, I think she's really, really good, and I hope the stinkers that came out after she blew up aren't going to hurt her.
I don't even know if this movie's going to suck. I'd really like to know one way or the other, but I don't. And I refuse to be tricked into seeing a movie because I can't get a gauge on it from the trailer. The trailer's supposed to build interest, and I guess it has, but it's also supposed to inform, which it has not. So the hell with them. You guys should go see it, and then, you know,
email us.
Yeah, email us. We'll do a reviews from views section that I've wanted to do for a while. Somebody go see that and tell me if it's any good.
On July 13th.
Yeah, well, yeah. So I can...
We're planning it.
Yeah. Well, I want to plant the seeds early so, you know, you guys can put it in your Outlook calendar or something. A movie that I'm pretty sure is probably already in your Outlook calendar on July 20th. It's some movie starring Christian Bale, Tom Hardy, Anne Hathaway. I think it's a comic book superhero movie or something. I don't know.
I'm excited for it. I like The Dark Knight. I'll watch him rise.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, what are you going to say about it? Yeah,
Tom Hardy.
Well,
that's all you have to say.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. That movie will probably
we'll
be
talk
good.
About
we'll
it
make
plenty of time before then. We'll I don't think it'll
a bunch of money.
I don't think it'll open to 200 because it doesn't have the 3D helping it out, but I think it'll be in the 175-180 range.
Well, yeah, we'll definitely do an over under when we get there, but it doesn't really have any kind of actually for a while any kind of competition. Also in limited release that week, Grassroots and The Well Digger's Daughter. Yeah, no thanks. July 25th, Ruby Sparks. July 27th in wide release, The Watch, or if you're listening to this way in the past, Neighborhood Watch with Jonah Hill, Vince Vaughn, and Ben Stiller. Step Up Revolution with some dancers. And then in limited release, IYY. What the fuck is that movie?
It's a Never Sorry documentary.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that I'm ignorant of that one. Easy Money, Searching for Sugar Man. That's a documentary as well. Killer Joe, we talked a little bit about before. That's that Matthew McConaughey movie where he's hired to kill
Emil Hirsch's mom
for insurance money. As of the time that we talked about it, it was NC-17.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's been any action on that yet, but they're going to have to do something by July 27th. Clown also comes out that week. Clown
with a K.
Like,
I'll see The Watch. I like Jonah Hill enough.
You're not so pissed off at the
I am
the movie
pissed
change.
The title change.
Yeah,
but
title change that you're still going to see.
I still laugh at Jonah Hill, no matter what the title is, and I'll see Killer Joe.
Yeah, I think it's going to be funny. Killer Joe, I know you think it's going to be really good, and it might be all right, but I don't know. I think The Watch would be The Watch for that week. August 3rd. In wide release, Born Legacy with Jeremy Renner. After being the screenwriter on the first three Bourne movies, Tony Gilroy is finally, in addition to writing it, he's finally getting his chance to direct it. I gotta say, I do like me some Jeremy Renner. I like the Bourne movie.
I think this will be awesome.
I think it's gonna be good, yeah.
I'm excited to not have Paul Greengrass. Like, the second and third one, I liked them despite him because I hate his shaky camera stuff. But I think Renner's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I think he's going to just be brutal. I think he's going to be a little more fierce than Matt Damon was.
He looks the part, too. And it's nothing against Matt Damon because he, like, the fight scenes in that movie, he carried off.
Oh, he
really,
does
really
awesome.
Well.
No,
yeah,
but Matt Damon did awesome.
Yeah, it's just his look.
And I hope that this new, the new, where he's playing Aaron Cross or whatever his name is. I hope that they can get a couple Bourne movies out of Jeremy Renner and then bring Damon back and have either them against each other or
awesome.
Together. I hope that's what this leads to.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, I can't really say that I know a whole lot about the plot other than, like, it's kind of like Jeremy Renner is Bourne 2.0, kind of.
He's a different guy. Yeah. Like, he's a different guy. It's the same company that Matt Damon's
been
fighting.
It's a government program again. They just obviously not so much Treadstone. Spoiler alert, that kind of goes away. But same kind of thing. They're trying to iron out some of the problems that led Matt Damon to kick people's asses through three movies. I don't think there will be any ass kicking in Diary of the Wimpy Kid, as the name implies. Dog Days.
They skipped a book.
Did they?
Oddly enough, this is the fourth book, but the third movie. I hate that I know that, but I work in books, so it's just odd that they skipped the third book.
Maybe they're going to put part of the third book in the fourth in this
movie? It's probably.
What do you think?
Probably.
Yeah, maybe that one, that Wimpy Kid book, maybe it's just a little bit light. Something I really wish that they would have skipped is the Total Recall remake starring Kate Beckinsale. As much as I like her and Colin Farrell, who I don't have anything against, I just am pissed.
I don't understand why this is releasing that day. Why are you going up against Bourne when you can bump it back a week and you don't have any action competition?
No, I guess
that's why we just talk about movies and we're not the ones.
We don't make the decisions. No, although if there was going to be a part of the decision making process I was in, I would like to be in the pitch meeting where I could have just said, "Oh, wait, you want to remake? No, get out of my office. You're fired."
I don't know.
That's how it would have been.
I'm indifferent on this movie yet. I need to see more. I like Colin Farrell. I don't care enough about the first to be angry.
No, it's not my favorite movie in the world. I'm just sick of remakes. Unnecessary remakes. Which is all this is. Limited release, 360 with Jude Law and Rachel Weisz. Celeste and Jesse Forever with a couple funny folks. Rashida Jones and Andy Samberg.
That Andy Samberg movie I do want to see.
Yeah, no, I think this one's going to be pretty funny as well. Again, it's a funny cast, and there's no Adam Sandler, so I don't think there'll be any danger of people overacting.
Plus, I want to see Rashida Jones in more movies.
Yeah, I agree. August 10th, Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis. The campaign comes out that week. That is the one where they're running for Congress opposite each other. We talked a little bit about that. It's going to be funny. We're all right with that. Hope Springs, starring Tommy Lee Jones and Meryl Streep. I have a feeling it's going to be one of those that Meryl Streep's going to act her balls off, and probably we'll hear more about that when the Oscars come up.
It feels like another Something's Gotta Give or one of those movies, but it's not a Mary Harron. This has Steve Carell as the therapist, which I like him. But I'm still not going to see this movie.
No, I'm not either. I'll see the campaign that week. That'll be fine.
I don't think I'll see either that week. Like, I'll see the campaign eventually because I like Zach, but I'll wait for it.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying if you had...
I don't have to.
You
nobody's
won
making
a race.
Yeah, it's
no,
hard enough for me to get out
and nobody,
to see a movie, let alone one every week.
Yeah, I understand.
So just lay off me.
Nobody's going to hold you to it. I'm just saying for the benefit of if you had time and money, what would you go see?
The campaign.
Yeah, okay. That's all I'm asking. I'm not going to make you show me your ticket stub for the campaign on August 15th or the 10th in case you were to happen. I'll even give you another week to see it. August 15th in wide release, The Odd Life of Timothy Green. And I think that this is a movie that we're both probably going to be masturbating throughout, but for entirely different reasons. It stars Joel Edgerton and Jennifer Garner.
It looks pretty decent. Like, it looks odd. The boy's a tree. But I like Joel Edgerton, and I want him in roles like this that'll give him more exposure, and I want him in movies people actually see.
I'm not sure that this is going to be it.
Yeah, the release date's a little weird. It's that Wednesday, but it'll be weird come that 17th, because there's another family movie coming out. But
yeah, The Expendables 2.
Yeah.
Family, in that it stars Thor's brother Liam, Sly, Jason. I mean, it stars a bunch of people. Chuck Norris gonna be in that one.
Van Damme.
Yeah.
Anybody who you can't understand when they talk.
You don't need to understand. You don't need to understand a sidekick to your nutsack. That speaks for itself. Paranorman.
That one I am excited about.
I was gonna say that.
I think
that's
that one's gonna
your boy.
Be
that's
awesome.
Cody Smith McPhee. It looks kind of interesting.
It's an animated kids movie about a little boy that can see dead people.
Like The Sixth Sense, but
funny. It looks awesome.
An animated movie about a kid that can see dead people. It would be interesting if he could watch the next movie, Sparkle, starring Jordan Sparks and the recently dead person, Whitney Houston.
Keep going, because I'm not supporting that at all.
Do you think that had Whitney Houston still been alive...
This is not getting a summer release.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not getting a wide release or a summer release.
If they can capitalize off her death to make a dollar, I can do it for somebody to snicker and think, that guy's an asshole. Limited release that week, Beloved and Eck the Tiger. August 24th, wide release, The Apparition, starring Ashley Green and a bunch of other people that you may have seen in various other films. It's about college kids that tried to prove scientifically that if you believe in ghosts, it actually makes them real and appear. I'm thinking that if you go into this movie believing that it will suck, you will actually make that come true. I think this movie's going to suck.
Speaking of movies that'll suck.
Hit and Run with Kristen Bell, Bradley Cooper, and Dax Shepard. We did talk a little bit about that before.
Is this weekend still in the summer? Like, how are these
late
movies
summer.
In the summer? My God.
Well, where else are you going to put it? You know what I mean?
January, February, the dumping grounds.
Well, yeah, I would say January would probably be.
Because all three wide releases this week look like garbage. The other wide release is Joey Gordon-Levitt, who I like. It's Premium Rush, where it's like an action movie where he's a bike messenger.
And nothing says action like bike messenger.
It is a risky job, though.
Yeah, that's true. Also, coming out that week, A Robot and Frank, Samsara, and Sleepwalk With Me. That's the Mikey Birbiglia joint, right?
Yes.
Yeah. He's
starring
funny dude.
Lauren Ambrose.
Yeah, so we should... Well, okay, yeah, there's two reasons to go see it then.
Yeah, I like Birbigs.
Yeah, he's a funny guy, and... He's funny without saying the potty words, which does take...
He's one of the best storytellers in stand-up comedy today, by far.
Absolutely. And I think that one will be... It'll be worth checking out.
It's based on his show. He did a one-man show called Sleepwalk With Me, and that's based on that.
And he's got a couple... He did that one-man show before that. Was it my girlfriend's boyfriend?
Something, yeah.
Something to that effect. But yeah, it was... I mean, not so funny that I can remember the name, but Birbiglia is a funny guy. You should check that one out. August 29th, it's a Wednesday, in wide release, Lawless, starring Tom Hardy, Gary Oldman, Shia LaBeouf, amongst others. Limited release, The Oogie Loves in the Big Balloon Adventure with the Dread Pirate Roberts and Doc Brown. Actually, I'm excited about that movie. I'm probably would go end up going to see Lawless because I'd feel pressured into it, but I would not at all be pissed seeing the other flick.
I'm excited to see Lawless.
Yeah, I know.
I can't wait for that movie.
And it's going to be good. I think that really, as we're looking at the way things are coming out in the summer, it's been a while, really, since anything worth a shit came out. So I think people will be really looking forward to getting to see something, and they might have, you know, you might even catch people who have stayed at home for a couple weeks and might be looking to come back out and see Lawless on the 29th. That weekend, the 31st, is The Possession with Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Kira Sedgwick.
You know what, before you go on with this, just to sum up The Possession, I've tried watching the trailer 3 times.
What possessed you to do that?
I get so bored. I can't even finish the trailer. if the trailer is making me bored enough to where I don't even want to finish.
I mean, Kira Sedgwick couldn't close the deal with you on that one.
Jesus Christ. Jeffrey Dean Morgan sure wasn't making me laugh.
Mm.
That's more obscure. Beat me there.
I
enjoyed it. That's all I need.
In limited release, The Good Doctor. That's the flick with Legolas as the doctor poisoning that
cute little girl.
Who's cute to start, but he keeps messing with her and she gets kind of haggard looking. So he should probably quit that. For a Good Time, Call, not the doctor, and Rebirth. That's it for August. And that's actually it for our summer preview. We're going to go ahead and cut it off at August because September is fall. Officially.
Yeah. So that's weekend by weekend. Yeah. As things happen, like a lot, especially with the limited releases, some release dates will change. So don't hold us to it.
Yeah, and I mean,
check your local listings.
They were relatively accurate, the time we sat down and recorded this. But yeah, check your local listings. But I don't think some of the bigger ones. I would have said that with G.I. Joe too.
Said that about G.I. Joe.
Yeah, I don't think Batman's going anywhere. I don't think Spider-Man's going anywhere. So what do you think? What do you think? Biggest dollar wise of the summer? Give me like three, and let's count three that we just talked about today.
Dark Knight.
Yep.
Brave.
Yeah. And you're just not going to say Spider-Man, are you? Because you don't think it's going to be any good.
I think Spider-Man will open big. I think it'll open in the 140 range, but I think it'll drop off big. Like, I really think it'll drop off big time. And then there's going to be a surprise. It's going to be something like The Watch or something that just hits a nerve with people and that they just go out to see it. Like, I don't see Ice Age or Madagascar.
No, either of the sequels. I think there's just too many. We're too deep into them, and I just don't think they're going to do.
I'd say Batman and what else did I say?
Batman Brave.
And Brave. I think Prometheus will be up there, but I'm going to pick The Watch as like the dark horse, that like the surprise hit that just makes a ton of money.
Yeah, I'm going to... Oh, boy. I don't know. Part of me wants to say that, one of the comedies will do good. Like, maybe The Campaign would do all right. Those are both guys that I think people go see. But I'm not sure. I really do feel like Dark Knight's just going to make so much money. Far and away will be the best. The only thing that's going to compete with it this year would be Avengers, obviously.
I think Avengers ultimately is more, too.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, especially, since it's already had such a great start, and it doesn't seem like it's losing steam anytime soon. I do think Spider-Man will be up there. So, I mean, for me, I guess I'll say Dark Knight, Spider-Man, and then Brave for making a bunch of bank this summer. One movie that's not going to be making a whole lot of money this summer, because it's not out. It won't be out this summer. It won't be out till winter, yes?
Christmas Day.
You'll be able to unwrap Leo DiCaprio in The Great Gatsby.
I don't know. I hate this book.
I never read the book.
Like, I hate the book. I hate the story. I hate everything about The Great Gatsby. I've never been a Baz Luhrmann fan.
No.
The first movie sucked with Bruce Dern, and then now Joel Edgerton is in that Bruce Dern role. But it's Tobey Maguire. It's Leo DiCaprio. It's either Carey Mulligan or Michelle Williams.
It's Carey Mulligan.
Carey Mulligan. I hate that I made that mistake.
It's that short-haired blonde lady.
Yeah, it's a good cast, but I just don't give any fucks about this movie just because of the source material.
I'll say this. Like, I don't have any kind of preconditioned prejudice towards the source material, but that trailer, what the fuck, man? Like, the music, like, really? This is a period piece. I mean, yeah, maybe you don't have to have music from the Roaring Twenties, but Jesus Christ.
It looks big. It looks Baz Luhrmann-y.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like it.
Baz Luhrmann all over that
novel.
Tell
me if this is an accurate description of it. It looks like a musical.
Yeah.
The set pieces look epic. The costumes look theatrical. Like, everything about it looks like a big adaptation of a hit Broadway musical.
And
but
maybe
it's
not. No, that's just his.
That's
his
style.
Thing, though. Yeah. So, whatever. Coming out with a trailer. We were trying to talk about this last week. We just kind of ran a
it
bit
dropped
out of time.
The day we recorded last week. So
damn them for bringing us a trailer for Skyfall. That is the new James Bond flick. Of course, still Daniel Craig, still kicking people's asses.
This time directed by Sam Mendes.
Yeah.
Which is an odd choice. I love Mendes as a director.
Yeah,
but he's not an action guy.
Yeah, I mean,
like even Road to Perdition, phenomenal movie that I think is completely underrated. Mm-hmm. I think that movie just kind of came and went without anybody paying attention to it. It's amazing.
It was a really good movie.
That's the closest to an action movie he's done.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm excited to see what he does with it. And typically, Bond movies don't necessarily attract like big name directors.
Oscar nominated directors.
Yeah, I can't really think of any offhand.
Oscar winning.
So yeah, I think this is going to be interesting. And the cast still looks awesome. So the trailer
doesn't show a whole bunch.
No, it doesn't. It's I would say it's a Bond trailer, but it's a new school Bond trailer. Yeah. So it's not necessarily as heavy on the explosions. It's kind of building tension, and then it's Daniel Craig saying, "We're going to kill some people."
Yeah.
So that'll be sweet. A movie where a lot of people do get killed in comically gruesome ways is the aforementioned Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. They just put out a Red Band trailer for that this week.
Just in case you weren't sold on its ridiculousness already. I don't know about it. I think it'll be fun.
Yes.
I like Seth Graham Smith, the guy that wrote the novel, and he actually, I believe he wrote the screenplay too.
I think he did.
Directed by Timur Bekmambetov from the Night Watch movies and Wanted. But it's just going to be ridiculous. It's silly that I'm shocked this movie made it to the big screen before Seth Graham Smith's first novel, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yeah.
But I think it's cool. I want to see more of that guy do stuff. Mm-hmm. So I hope it's not a total bomb.
I don't think it's going to be I really don't think it's going to be a total bomb. I think people are going to see that title and think, what the hell?
And then
they'll go see it.
I don't know. Because it also...
It could go both ways.
It doesn't have the... like, what is it? Ben Walker is playing mm-hmm. Abraham Lincoln, yeah. Who is an unknown. And I feel like a movie like this kind of needs that star power.
Yeah, and I don't think you really quite get it from Mary. She's...
Oh, no. Yeah. Definitely not. I like her. I enjoy her. But she's not a star, I don't think.
Also, one more trailer before we get out of this section. The Master.
I cannot wait for this movie. I don't know how you feel, because you either like Paul Thomas Anderson or you don't. I love Paul Thomas Anderson. Him doing a movie about a Scientologist cult, essentially. Yes. Yes, please.
I'm interested to see the way it comes out, and I'm interested. Sometimes it almost seems not like a South Park episode, but something that, and they've done it before, obviously, but you're interested to see how they tackle it. And if it's going to be, you know, kind of like, hey, look at these jackasses. Look at how dumb they are and everything they believe is stupid.
No, because I think Paul Thomas Anderson has this... I don't know how to say it. He'll hit you over the face with subtlety.
Yeah,
he'll make his point, but it'll be driven... like it. He'll subtly drive his point home, I think.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see exactly like what he's saying. I guess, you know, what statement he's trying to make with it. That's kind of what I
can't
I do
wait.
Like, this
like I'm excited. This movie's been in the works for a long time, and I've been so excited for it since it was announced. So very excited for
it. It could it probably will be a good movie. We like his stuff. I think we're both on record as saying that. Probably would even give it a Ryan and Dave podcast award. One award that I'm relatively sure it won't be nominated for or get. Will be an MTV Movie Award. That 3-hour piece of garbage is going to be coming up here pretty quick.
Next Sunday, the 3rd?
Yeah,
June 3rd?
Whatever that makes next Sunday. Obviously, the next show we do will be in the aftermath of whatever is going to happen that
evening. We're going to go over what people were wearing.
In depth.
Snubs.
Oh, we can do a little bit of snubs this week.
Actually, this will be the only time we ever talk about MTV Movie Awards.
Until next MTV Movie Awards. Hosted by Russell Brand this year, I'm sure.
That's the only thing that makes me excited. I like Russell Brand.
I think he's all right. And he might do something that pisses somebody off, and that could be worth, but not worth watching the whole thing. You want to do a little will win or should win Do we want to do that?
Let's break it down. Will win, should win.
All right, that sounds good.
Because see how in touch we are with our 13-year-old girls. Not as much as I'd like to be.
All right. I'm glad that you said that, having two young girls. Because, I mean, if I say that, like, I'm a creep. If you say that, you're going to jail. And why not just start with best kiss? That sounds like a good place to start, speaking of young girls. And the nominees are C. Tates and Rachel McAdams for The Vow, Jennifer Lawrence and Josh Hutcherson for The Hunger Games, obviously the husband and wife duo of Edward and Bella in Breaking Dawn, Rupert Grint and Emma Watson for Harry Potter, and Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone for Crazy Stupid Love. Who will win?
Probably PETA and Katniss.
I'm gonna disagree, and I'm gonna say Channing Tatum and Rachel McAdams.
What?
You
think this movie for 40-year-old lonely women is gonna beat out The Hunger Games and Twilight and Harry Potter?
I think those three are going to split the vote. Split the 13-year-old vote, and I think that Rachel McAdams is going
to
win.
Will win is
no,
Hunger
that's what I mean.
Games.
Yeah, okay. That's
who should win?
Yeah, who should win?
Gosling and Emma Stone. You only because I want Ryan Gosling to do the dirty dancing to me.
I have to admit, the only movie on this entire list that I've seen was Breaking Dawn. No, I take that back. was the other movie based off a book series that I didn't read. I saw The Hunger Games. Whatever.
You didn't see Crazy Stupid Love?
No, I didn't.
Oh, dude, it's actually really, really good.
I wanted to, but I just didn't get around to it. But what I was going to say is, with that being said, if there is an award to be given for Best Kiss, it must go to Ryan Gosling.
Has to
right?
be. It's such a good moment, too, in the movie. Like, it's so hot, and you're just so jealous of Emma Stone.
I know. That's what I'm thinking.
One should win.
That's how I figured, well, let me see. Would I like to kiss Channing Tatum? Yeah, maybe. Would I like to kiss Rupert Grint? No, not so much. No. So it really came down to C. Tates and Gosling, and I'd mouth lock Ryan Gosling. Best fight scene, the aforementioned Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill versus some kitty folks in 21 Jump Street. Harry Potter versus Voldemort. I think that was in Harry Potter. Katniss and PETA versus Alexander Ludwig in The Hunger Games. And Tom Cruise versus Michael Nyquist in Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. I almost called it Ghost Recall. Ghost Recon, even. Tom Hardy versus Joel Edgerton in Warrior. Who will win?
Will win, I think, just for the finality of it. Harry Potter versus Voldemort.
I agree.
Because that was a really good fight. Like, it was actually pretty awesome. Like, that was a good end to the series.
Who should win?
The fight?
Yeah.
The only fight of these that made me cry. Joel Edgerton versus Tom Hardy in Warrior.
You know what? I knew you were going to pick that. And I think probably most everyone listening probably knew you were going to pick that. So I just picked something else. I would just like to give a little bit of a nod to Tom Cruise. Dude's almost 50. Like, and he's still, you know, every now and again kicking people's asses. So, yeah, good for Tom Cruise. That was sweet. Best cast. 21 Jump Street, Bridesmaids, Harry Potter, The Help, The Hunger Games. Who will win for best cast?
I really think The Hunger Games will win for best cast. You got Liam Hemsworth, who's banging Miley. You got PETA, who the girls love, plus the movie made $400 million, and it's like the next big thing. I really think the Hunger Games cast is going to win. Plus, fucking Lenny Kravitz, Woody Harrelson, Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah.
Stanley Tucci? Yeah, the kids love the Tucci.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure like those are all names that kids absolutely love. No one loves Woody Harrelson and Woody Harrelson flicks more than 13-year-olds. The first part of your point is salient, and you probably are right. The Hunger Games probably will win. I really think that really the only possible cast that has a shot at beating them, I'm going Bridesmaids.
I would give it to Harry Potter. Just because eight movies, they got no love from the Oscars, the least I can do is give them an MTV Best Ensemble Cast Award.
Best comedic performance, Jonah Hill in 21 Jump Street. Does it sound like I don't care about any of this? Because I kind of feel that way, but I'm trying not to let it come through in my voice. Kristen Wiig for Bridesmaids, Melissa McCarthy for Bridesmaids, Oliver Cooper for Project X, or Zach G for Hangover Dose. Who will get it?
I think Kristen Wiig will get it. I think Melissa McCarthy should get it.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Zach probably will get it, because I just think, for some reason, people think Hangover movies are funny, and I think that's going to go a long way. I mean, Kristen Wiig should get it. I don't think she will. I think she's funny.
I love her. I thought Melissa McCarthy upstaged her in that movie.
I think she had a couple, like, the big jokes that went to Melissa McCarthy, and they
did
get
some big
laughs.
It was my problem with Bridesmaids.
Okay.
At times, Kristen Wiig was just downright hateable. The stuff her character was doing, I didn't want anything to work out for her. If she was going to be such a miserable cunt and ruin her friend's engagement party, I don't fucking want you to end up okay in the end. If you're such a jealous bitch whore, fuck you. Like, that's your friend. If you can't put yourself aside to fucking let her enjoy it, who cares if she has another friend? Just be there and enjoy this friend you have, you fucking selfish cunt bitch. I didn't care about her. And if I don't care about the lead character and I don't feel like you deserve good things to happen to you, I stop caring.
And I'm sure that will be the rationale going through the mind of every 13-year-old as they're clicking on their iPhones to vote for Zach Galifianakis for Best Comedic Performance. Best Breakthrough Performance, Elle Fanning for Super 8, Melissa McCarthy for Bridesmaids, Liam Hemsworth for Hunger Games, Rooney Mara for Dragon Tattoo, and Shailene Woodley for The Descendants.
Hemsworth's got this.
He's going to win?
Kale's going to take this home.
Wow.
Because they love Miley, and he's the one up in that.
So he's going to get the proxy.
He's going to get the Miley vote. Elle Fanning, she was good in Super 8. She was like the only thing good.
I thought she was really good in that movie.
She's like the only thing good in that movie.
Well,
even though in that whole movie she looked older than Dakota Fanning has ever looked.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. But I did think she was really good in that movie. I would like to see her win it. I was shocked as shit that she even got nominated. Happy. But I don't think she's
got a shot. You know who I
think
should win, though?
Who should win?
Shailene Woodley. She's been rotting away on that garbage Confessions of an American Super Teenager or whatever that show's called, the one where she has all those babies on ABC Family. She's been rotting away on that show for years, and I never gave her a second thought. And then in The Descendants, she was awesome. She fucking stole that movie. I wasn't nuts about that movie, but she was so good in it. And it's like, holy shit, why is this much talent wasting on ABC Family? So it's like, I hope she's the breakthrough this year. I hope she gets bigger roles.
But she won't.
She needs...
She's not getting this award.
No. I'm talking... Yeah, I'm beyond MTV now. I hope she starts getting bigger roles. And I hope she's a movie star soon.
Yeah, so who is going to get the award? It's going to be Melissa McCarthy, right? There's really
I say Hemsworth.
Okay, oh, that's right. You were pretty sold on that, and I think I'm just as sold with Mel Mack. Best male performance of the year. C. Tate's in The Vow. Harry Potter in Harry Potter. Joey Gordon-Levitt, 50-50. Josh Hutcherson in The Hunger Games. Or Ryan Gosling in Drive. How the fuck did Ryan Gosling get nominated for Drive for an MTV
How the
award?
Fuck did he not? He should be up for Best Actress. He should be up for Best... He should be up for every award fucking possible for that performance in Drive. He should win this award.
Who would 13-year-old saw Drive?
Anyone with good parents that know what's good for their kids.
Yeah.
My kids saw Drive.
I don't doubt that.
They're 3-1, and they thought he was phenomenal.
They liked it.
They loved him. They're scared of elevators now, but they love
it. Oh, you know what would be really cute? If you got on those little scorpion jackets?
If I could find them for little babies, I totally would.
We're going to the silk screen in place. All right. So, I mean, it's going to be Harry Potter, right? No, you think it's going to be
say
the
PETA.
Hunger Games. Okay. I'm going Harry Potter just for maybe career retrospective or thanks for the memories, Harry. Best female performance, Emma Stone, Crazy Stupid Love, Emma Watson, Harry Potter, Jennifer Lawrence, Hunger Games, Kristen Wiig, Bridesmaids, Rooney Mara for Dragon Tattoo. Who's going to win it?
J-Law.
Yep, I agree. Who should win it?
J-Law.
I'm going to go with Rooney Mara. I think we both think that Jennifer Lawrence is going to win the award. I just think, you know, if I were picking, I thought Rooney Mara's performance was better than Jennifer Lawrence's.
I think my problem with Rooney Mara's performance is I should not be that attracted to Lizbeth Salander.
Well, there's really nothing she can do about that. Best Picture, Movie of the Year, Bridesmaids, Hunger Games, Harry Potter, The Help, Breaking Dawn. Hunger Games is going to win, right?
Hunger Games.
Yeah, all right. So, fuck it. Why even talk about who should win?
Of those, I would give it to Harry Potter.
You would? I can't.
I really like The Hunger Games. But
never sat through a Harry Potter movie, so I can't really say.
Start at the third one and watch.
But how am I going to understand what's going on?
You'll get it.
Yeah. All right, that's we spent entirely too much time on the MTV Movie Awards, but you know, we felt it was our duty.
It was important.
Yes, it's important to you, the listener.
And maybe if I don't forget that I said this by Sunday, we will live tweet the MTV Movie Awards at Movies On Up on Twitter.
You'll live tweet them because you said it.
I'll probably forget.
Well, and fuck it. I'm going to remind you. I'm going to put that in my Outlook calendar. Remind you. Something that we would like to remind our listeners of is The Wolverine will be shooting in August for a 2013 release. It'll be directed by James Mangold. He's directing a script that was penned by Christopher McQuarrie and Mark Baumbach.
I'm excited for this only because of Christopher McQuarrie, one of the most underrated dudes. Way of the Gun, he wrote and directed.
Which was awesome.
One of the most underrated movies ever, I think.
And Usual Suspects, that was okay.
He wrote
too.
That, yeah. But no, I'm excited for that. Apparently, I think they're gonna forget the first one happened, and they're gonna do this one right.
This is the story I wanted to see with Wolverine, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So
he's over in Asia doing Asian stuff. So I think we're both on board with that. I don't even need to read this, but I know we're both going to be on board. Bob Odenkirk and David Cross will be reuniting for Girlfriend's Day, a dark comedy directed by Mr. Odenkirk. We'll be starring his Breaking Bad co-star Bryan Cranston, also have David Cross, Amber Tamblyn, Fred Armisen, and Davey Koechner.
Yes, please.
Yep,
like
absolutely.
Mr. Show has shaped my childhood, gave me my sense of humor. I know they hate Run, Ronnie, Run. I enjoyed it. Yes, like I'm so excited for
this. I mean, I'm sure we'll probably talk about this more at some point in the future, so we're not really delve too deep into it now. Yeah. You just need to know. Odenkirk and Cross are getting back together. They're going to do something. So that's good news for everybody. Good news for Jon Favreau. He will still appear as Happy Hogan in Iron Man 3. Also adding to the cast is William Sadler.
I was worried about that. That didn't really come up when it was announced that Favreau wasn't going to be directing 3. Mm-hmm. Happy Hogan was a pretty big part in the first two that he did. So it's cool of him to come back and play it, even though he's not directing.
Yeah, it was kind of... being the bigger man in the situation. So.
And William Sadler, the star of Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight. Speaking of underrated movies.
I liked both of those. I even liked Bordello of Blood. But,
I like Demon Knight so much more.
Well, I liked it more, yeah, but I'm just saying I liked them both. One movie that we teased it a little bit earlier that we may not necessarily like, maybe Ice Age is not for us. But if you're thinking that, hold on just a second. The Simpsons is getting a 3D short that will be before Ice Age.
Now, I wonder if this is just a one-off short or if it's kind of testing the waters to see if they want to do another Simpsons movie.
Well, I think that they would probably tell you that it's a one-off short, maybe. But I think that, obviously, if a bunch of people go see it and it gets a lot of buzz, then how could there not?
Because it centers on Maggie. It's called The Longest Daycare or something like that. So it's a Maggie-centric thing, but it's weird.
Simpsons.
You see them on the big screen again. If it weren't so 3D, I would go see it.
All right, well, I tell you what, just take your 3D glasses off and watch it. A movie that you're absolutely going to have your glasses on for is, and I will too now, in full disclosure, is Steve McQueen's 12 Years a Slave. Paul Dano is joining the cast.
That cast.
With already includes Michael Fassbender. Chiwetel
Ejiofor.
Yeah, and Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Paul Dano just added this week, as if the cast wasn't strong enough. Paul Dano is... he makes everything better.
He's playing the slave owner, right?
He's one of them, yeah.
One of them.
Yeah, he's... that movie is going to be so good.
Yeah, good dude. I am looking forward to the movie. Abigail Breslin will be in The Final Girl.
What happened to Abigail Breslin?
Little
Miss Sunshine came out. There was all this buzz about Abigail Breslin, and then she just kind of
She's got a couple things in the hopper there, right?
Yeah, but nothing. Yeah. She wasn't like everything was leading to like, oh, she's gonna be like a big time household headlining movies after Little Miss Sunshine.
And maybe then she was taking spelling tests and stuff.
Yeah, that never just happened.
Yeah, this movie I think is probably gonna suck though.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like your typical kind of your typical revenge movie. It's just skewing a bit. It's if you take like, hey,
it's like Young Girl.
I was thinking like if you took I Spit on Your Grave and kind of just rewound that.
You see what I did? I took Old Boy and then made it Young Girl.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll give you a little bit of credit for that. I was just trying
the
to
best
read.
Jokes are when you have to explain.
Yes, absolutely. Because that just shows how well constructed it was and what a broad appeal it had. I'm not trying to critique your writing process, but I am trying to critique this movie. I think it's going to suck. And the director is a photographer. This is his first feature that he's going to be directing, so that's always a good sign too. Another good sign is if you're doing a remake and Tom Cruise signs on to be in it, he will star in the Magnificent Seven remake, which of course is a remake of a movie that was a remake of Seven Samurai. So,
so Magnificent Seven was a Western remake,
yes,
of a samurai movie.
Yes.
So if you remake Magnificent Seven, wouldn't you want to do something different with it? Maybe modernize it again?
Nope.
It's just going to be a Western remake.
Absolutely. And
starring Tom Cruise, because when I think cowboy, I think Tom Cruise.
Well, I think with what Tom Cruise has got on his plate, whatever you think over the next probably 2 years, Tom Cruise, he's going to be everywhere. Good for him, though. He needs the money. Zac Efron and Seth Rogen possibly joining the cast of Townies, and that will be possibly directed by Nicholas Stoller.
If this all goes through, Nicholas Stoller is a good comedy director. Seth Rogen has box office power. I think this is what turns the corner for Zac Efron. I think now he's looked at as the kid from High School Musical, just a pretty face. I like Zac Efron. I think he can be good. I think a comedy like this, where he's playing like a douche frat guy,
yeah,
against
and I think
Seth Rogen's like middle, like family man, neighborhood guy.
Yeah, the kind of guys that like Seth Rogen and like his movies already have a picture of Zac Efron, and he's kind of playing a character of that picture. That
yeah,
we think of
and
him
I think
bag.
He's going to be really good. I think this will be the thing that turns the corner. And like, I think 21 Jump Street gained a lot of male fans for Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
Guys that had just kind of written them off. I think the same thing will happen for Efron if this movie goes through.
Well, and then hopefully we'll see a C. Tates and Zac Efron ab off, because I think that's what the world needs.
Step up five.
You said before what the world needs is more Mark Duplass, and you got more Mark Duplass. He will be in On the Hunt for Osama in Catherine Bigelow's Zero Dark Thirty.
This movie's going to be weird. This cast is shaping up okay. I don't know, but I like Catherine Bigelow.
She can make herself a lot of money directing movies in the desert.
Yeah, and I mean she's riding off a Hurt Locker. Yeah. A Hunt for Osama movie with that kind of tone, I'd probably be interested in it.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll
Plus Strange Days. What? She directed Strange Days.
Yeah, enough said.
And really? Point Break.
Yeah. Well, Point Break has a special spot in my heart.
They both have special parts in my body.
Disney finally just put Order of the Seven in a part of their body. It was the Asian-located, samurai-themed Snow White movie that they've been talking about for, I don't know, like 15 years, and they just axed it.
They just axed it. They had Saoirse Ronan on to play Snow White. But I think they realized Mirror Mirror kind of bombed. Then you got Snow White and the Huntsman. Do we need a third Snow White movie? They sunk a lot of money into this movie.
Yeah, and the sad thing is this movie could have been out before the other two.
It's not even bombing. It's not, like, it's a difference if you spend $200 million on a movie and only make 75 of it back. It's completely different when you sink $200 or $300 million into a movie that never gets made.
Yeah.
You never make a dime back off of it.
Yeah,
so
that's rough. And I'm sure that that'll really just put the screws to Disney, and it might sink them as a company.
Yeah.
Confederacy of Dunces is the movie adaptation finally looking like it's actually going to make the screen. This has been in development for various stages.
So many directors have tried to make this happen.
Long period of time. Actually, the book was won the Pulitzer Prize for fiction in 1981. Finally does look like it's got a director that will actually do it with James Bobbin. And Zach Galifianakis looking to maybe be the lead. I read a story in the New York Daily News where he was confirmed.
If you look at the book, he looks like the guy on the cover.
He does.
You take Zach Galifianakis from the campaign, that's the cover of Confederacy of Duncan of Dunces, and this will be it'd be a great role for him because it is him being funny, but it's also him acting. So it's.
Do you think he's going to end up dead though? People say like Madden's got a terrible curse or Sports Illustrated. This like playing the lead in Confederacy of Dunces, originally speculated to do it. John Belushi, John Candy, Chris Farley.
Zach's not that fat.
No, I'm just saying, like, they all died.
Yeah, no, I think he'll be fine.
All right, well, I hope so, because I think it could end up being a kind of really funny movie, and I don't want to see anyone die.
Oh, I want to see some people die.
I'm sure there will be people dying in Act of Valor. That'll be co-directed by Scott Waugh. He was offered the opportunity to adapt the video game franchise Need for Speed for the big screen, which I think we've had for like the last 15 years.
And rumor,
Fast and the Furious.
Rumor has it he's going to use real cars to star in it.
Yeah. that one wasn't bad. I liked it. Moving right along. But keeping the video game theme, Chronicle director Josh Trank has been brought on to adapt the video game Shadow of the Colossus for the big screen. And I think this could be gnarly.
Could be awesome,
or it could be boring as shit, but I think it'll be awesome.
I don't know enough about Trank. I really don't like Chronicle because I don't like first person for no reason, and there was no reason for that movie to be first like found footage.
I'm not real sure. I think it had a lot more success than people thought it was going to have.
Oh, it was successful. Kind of it was successful. That's why they were looking at him for Fantastic Four, which I think he's somewhat attached to, at least in a producer role. There's some other comic properties that he's attached to because everybody wanting to make a superhero movie was coming at him. So it looks like this is going to be next for him. But
yeah, I think if you're not familiar with the game, I don't want to say too much. Because the story is actually really
neat.
He's
got to kill a bunch of monsters.
Yeah, they're huge. Yeah. Hence the name Colossus. But yeah, it's definitely. I think it'll be worth checking out. And you've got plenty of time to play the game in the meantime. Universal looking to adapt the line of Lego's Hero Factory to make a movie out of that.
Because the last time Universal made a movie based on a game,
it worked so well. Is Taylor Kitsch going to be in this? As a Lego? He's got kind of a square
it's robot
head.
Legos.
Oh, robo
Speaking
Legos.
Of robot Legos.
Gary Oldman will join the cast for the remake of RoboCop in a role that will be exclusive to the remake. I didn't finish reading the sentence, and I'm thinking, oh, I wonder who Gary Oldman's going to play. And then, they're just shoehorning him in because the movie's going to suck, but they just need somebody
in
there.
I think it can be good.
Well, that's where we will agree to disagree. Anthony Hopkins, another old guy, looking to join some more old folks in Red 2. That is, if his Thor 2 schedule allows it.
I'll still say it again. Do we need a Red 2?
No, probably not. But there are a lot of old people that watch movies, and I will say any excuse to see more of Mary Louise
Speaking
Parker
of Red,
in.
John Malkovich is going to fuck that iPhone. Have you seen that commercial?
I think I saw it, but
it's very rapey. Like, I think Zooey Deschanel not knowing what fucking rain is better than what Malkovich is going to do to that phone.
You know, I have to say, my favorite of those was the Sam Jackson one, but I'm a little bit pissed that he never said the word motherfucker. Not one time.
This is the only one that makes him look like a regular human being.
Yeah, that's true. Although, I think Zooey Deschanel is kind of weird anyway. Speaking of weird dudes, Mads Mikkelsen has just signed on to be the villain in Thor 2. He's also going to be the villain in Skyfall. He's a villainy-looking dude.
He also just won Best Actor at Cannes.
Really?
Yeah,
nice.
Today.
Honestly, this is when I first got turned on to Mads as being a hell of an actor. I watched Valhalla Rising. Zero lines for Mads in that movie. Doesn't say a goddamn word, but... maybe he can, use, his eyes to really express. No, because he only had one eye in the movie. Like, could you be more hamstrung in a film? No, I don't think so. But
that movie is so good.
And it's so strange. Yeah. So strange.
Nicholas Winding Refn.
Yeah, the guy that directed Drive. He definitely has a style, and he doesn't like dialogue in movies.
His next like three movies are going to be awesome.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good average, and I think, you know, Thor 2 probably be pretty decent. Skyfall I think is going to be awesome. So Mads is kind of on a
blown
on a
up
streak. Yeah,
he's going to be happy for a while.
Good for him. He'll be happy, but you won't. Oh, I get it, because his name is Mads. That one wasn't bad. Zoe Saldana was the next hot chick that's going to be in Machete Kills.
Yeah.
Meh.
That's all you need
to
say.
What else do you
need to
say? I mean, I think Machete's going to be cool. She's hot. Yeah, bring her on. Kevin Hart will be possibly teaming up with Kevin James to be in Valet Guys.
I want Kevin Hart to cross over, because he's huge in the black community. Like, he is so well-loved.
And you're tied in very well to that community.
Yeah, he's so well-loved. And, he's riding high off of Think Like a Man Now, which is a hit. But I want him to be more exposed to mainstream audiences.
Yep,
sadly,
a Kevin James movie will do that. Yes.
He's better than that. So hopefully this is a springing off point to where he can find some mainstream success beyond that movie.
And maybe one day he can aspire to be in a movie with Bradley Cooper. Probably not American Sniper. That book is now coming to theaters starring B. Coop.
Bradley Cooper's producing it. He's the one getting the ball rolling on getting it to the theater. It's basically a memoir of one of our snipers.
Yeah,
I'm for it. Could you imagine how jealous of you would be for that, of that scope being that close to
Bradley
those blue eyes?
Yeah.
My goodness.
And I can only assume that we're going to get a shot that's down the scope from the other way, so we'll see a giant big blue from Bradley Cooper. That will just melt. Sony planning a 3D concert film starring One Direction. That'll be out in November of 2013.
Will anybody still give a shit about One Direction by November 2013? Are they really do they have that staying power?
I think Sony hopes so.
You hope so?
I think Sony hopes so.
No. I don't think they do. I think that one will be a limited release. I think they'll be done by then.
Well, there's only one way to find out, and that is wait till November of 2013. We kind of have already done a little bit about our box office, what's going to be coming out. If you want to know what's coming out next week, just rewind. Listen to the beginning of this podcast again. But since Dave's been red hot on the over-unders, we're going to do a little bit of that right now. Snow White and the Huntsman, Piranha 3DD, and Battlefield America. And I can't believe we're talking about that movie again.
Well, Snow White and the Huntsman's the only one in wide release. And I really don't know what to feel about this movie. I don't know if it's... I don't know what the interest is in that. I'm thinking it does about what Avengers did this week at number two, where it'll be in that like $37 to $40 million range. So I'm going to set the over-under... Let's say 37. I'm reluctantly going to take the over. I think it'll be around $40 million. I can't say if that'll be first place.
Can I ask a procedural question?
Yeah.
Why do you set the over-under and then get the first pick?
All right, you pick first.
No, fuck it. Well, I'll pick first next week. I'm just raising...
Because if I weren't picking first... Yeah, okay.
But you're setting the over-under.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You're like Vegas. You set the line and then say, the only way you can win is by...
Me being wrong.
Well...
Which makes sense.
Well, yeah, but it's not... I'm not just fighting the over-under. I'm also... picking what's left over. And you know what? I'll take...
You can agree with me.
No, that's not fun.
It's not a competition.
That's not... I went to the first take school of broadcasting where you just argue about everything. No, I think it's... I'll go under. I think...
I think you might take this one, though. Like,
well,
it
would be the first time.
I'm not confident with that 37.
We'll see. $37 million for Snow White and the Huntsman. In its first week, going up against Men in Black. Second week, Avengers in like fifth week, maybe?
Yeah,
at that point.
Which I think that'll be 1, 2, and 3 is
and
Men
Battleship?
In Black, Avengers, and Snow White and the Huntsman.
I think that's fair to say.
I wouldn't be shocked if Huntsman is first or third. Like I don't know what kind of drop off Men in Black's gonna do.
I think it'll be second. I think it'll be Men in Black, Snow White, and Avengers. So that's pretty much it for this upcoming week. If you're not going to be running out to the theaters to see Snow White or the Avengers for the fifth time, Dave, what are you going to be watching?
Goon releases on DVD this Tuesday, starring Sean William Scott as a hockey goon, written by Jay Baruchel, who's also in it. He's the weakest spot in the movie, but still good. And directed by Michael Krauss, who this movie kind of got put on demand and didn't get any attention because Take Me Home Tonight was such a disaster. Michael Krauss's previous film. But it's actually really good. There's a lot of heart to it. There's a lot of good laughs. Sean William Scott is so likable in it that it's actually really good. Like, I think a lot of people will be turned off by it. But
because it's a hockey movie?
Yeah, but it does. The hockey doesn't matter,
really.
It's
secondary.
Yeah.
I mean, Slapshot was good and as a hockey movie. And people
Mighty
still
Ducks.
It. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and hockey is a lesser part of this movie than those. So it's more about Sean William Scott's character. And Allison Pill's the female lead, who she's adorable. So it's actually really good.
And if you get turned off by a hockey movie, you probably would want to stay away from my pick of the week, which is now streaming on Netflix. And I had already, when I was writing what I was going to pick this week, I was all set to pick Nicholas Winding's movie, Drive. That just got added, or relatively recently. And I thought, damn, I'll just go ahead. We've been talking quite a bit about Gosling, so I'll say Drive. But couldn't do it, because right after that was a movie that I wouldn't mind if I was starring in with Ryan Gosling, and that is Human Centipede 2, full sequence, now streaming. And I already watched it, and what I will say about it is, if you have seen the first one, and you probably went into it thinking this is going to be the most disgusting thing I've ever seen, I think you could probably agree with me that after you watch the first one, it's not that bad. It was a lot more was made of it than actually was in the film. That is not anywhere near what I can say for the second one. If you thought you got off easy with the first one, you did. And if you watch this one, everything that you thought was going to be in the first one and wasn't, well, it's in this one, and it's probably even a little bit worse. With that being said, yeah, I watched it. I squirmed. It's not for everyone, but it is streaming. So, what the hell? Give it a shot.
I read the synopsis, and that's enough for me.
Well, I mean, the synopsis, okay, instead of a 3-person centipede, now he's trying to do a 12-person centipede.
No, I read, like, a detailed, like, plot, like, the entire thing. So, I pretty much know everything that happens, and I have no interest in seeing it.
Yeah, spoiler, he attaches people's faces to other people's assholes. But not nearly as successfully as Dr. Dieter Laser did in the first film.
I didn't even like the first one.
Ah, well, then don't watch the second one. But
done and done.
Done and done. We are done for this week. We went a little long this week, but
way long.
You know, it's summer preview. It's a
MTV Video Movie Awards.
Well, yeah, that too. It's, you know, like a double issue of a magazine, and we don't do it all the time, but you know, we giving you a better value this week, right? You
get bang more for your buck.
Exactly.
So just send us a dollar via PayPal to moviesonup@gmail.com if you downloaded this for free.
And Dave will bang you.
I probably would.
For a dollar? Yeah, what the hell. Yeah, that's the website. Send in your tagline to the moviesonup@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter, @moviesonup.
Because Dave is going to be live tweeting the MTV
Possibly.
Movie Awards.
Definitely. And I'm going to start putting some stuff on the Twitter. I haven't really been doing anything, but
yeah, that's in the process.
That'll be an active Twitter here soon.
Yeah, follow us first. We'll make sure that it's going to be worth doing.
Like us on Facebook. You have to search Movies on Up right now because I'm not able to get the name yet, but search Movies on Up. Like us.
Check out our MySpace profile.
Check out us on Friendster.
Yeah, Friendster.
We have LiveJournal, moviesonup_.livejournal.
Our Angel Fire site is up and running.
Check us out on MS-DOS.
Mm-hmm.
C:// movies on us.
You can instant message us at moviesonup.
Check us out in AIM. The cave drawings next to the aliens.
That's an invitation?
Yeah.
But if you listen to our next week's episode, I can promise, well, as close as anyone can promise, that you won't die and nothing will come out of your chest except happiness and laughter. So that's it. That's it for us this week. Keep it up.